Why don't you turn to the church of Thyatira, chapter 2 of Revelations, verse 18 to 29. We'll just go the historical facts today. But let me read what it says here. John talking, he says this, "And to the angel or the messenger of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her a time to repent for her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into the great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill their children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one according to his works. And not to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as I do not have this doctrine." He says, those that have not doctrine, "who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you do have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give him power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as also I have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches." Now notice how many times in the letter he uses the word repentance. In the seven churches, every one of the churches, there's a word repent except for Smyrna. Except for Smyrna. Remember, Smyrna was a first century church that was going through great persecution. Great persecution. And those young men, young women, and families, they were arrested by Rome, and then they were tried to say Caesar is Lord or Jesus is Lord. Then as they were taken into captivity by the Roman government, they were sentenced to death, either by a lion eating you up or crucifixion or whatever the case would be. 6 million Christians died in the early church. That's a lot. That's like the Jewish people that died when Hitler killed them. And think about today, the way today it's changing, not only the church, our government. And I really believe with all my heart that no matter who the president is, whoever it is, we know that God is in control and God is leading us to the Antichrist. We know that. It's going to get more evil. There's going to be more problems in every nation of the world. And one of the greatest things that I study and I see is that right now we see not only Iran, Iraq, Korea, and all these places when God said to Israel, they're the main point, Israel, when you see these nations surrounding you, look up. And we know that today Israel is surrounded by the Muslim nations of the world. And they're even here in America. Radical Islam. I'm not talking about other Muslims. Radical Islam. In our own nation. And when I study these churches, in every one of those churches, any one of us can identify himself. Where do you stand? In what church do you belong to? Remember, the first church, they had left their first love. And the Lord said, repent. Turn back to me. If not, I will go somewhere else and do what I have to do. The second church, remember, they suffer, the suffering church, Smyrna. Smyrna. And then Pergamos, and not Thyatira. And we're not even through with the other churches. And we begin to see that as we progress through the churches, by the time you get to the last church, Laodicea, it's a church, it's actually the tribulation church. And I believe that we see Laodicea today. It's already presently before us. Because it's not the world. You're going to see in a moment, it's not the world, it's the church that is having problems. The church. People are losing their hunger and their thirst for the Word of God. We have so much entertainment with computers and television and movies and all these things that we have to do, that we're so busy, we spend so much time in our computers or pads or whatever it is, and then you begin to see that your time with God has been very shortened. And then how can we have spiritual insight, or how can we really fight against the enemy when we really haven't spent time on our faces before God, before the Lord? And here Jesus is giving us a preview of the last days. Seven churches from past to the present to the future. He says you can look at every one of those churches and you can see each person individually what church they belong to. Now, the church of Thyatira would be the church of Rome, the Catholic Church today, because of all of the idolatry, all of the things that they worship. But let's begin just by looking at this whole thing. I'm going to give you the historical facts, because it is very possible here that the Church of Thyatira was founded through a testimony of a woman. We really don't know, but they think. A testimony of a woman, because he talks about Jezebel. Remember? And then it's Paul's first convert. Paul is the first convert that gets saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That he goes out, you know, when the disciples got saved, Paul comes to the Lord on the way to Damascus. The Lord uses him. Then he goes out to Europe. And as he's going out to Europe, he meets this woman in Europe by the name, notice, by the name of, she does a lot of work. She's a business lady. Let me read it to you in Acts 16:14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She said, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart to listen to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come to my house and stay with me. She persuaded them. She was so touched by Paul the apostle because of his life and the gospel that was presented to him. She became the first convert in Europe. And to me, it's exciting to see that the city, you know, that Paul goes to is where these people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But think about how when Rome came, they built roads. If the Romans would have never come, there would not be any roads to take the gospel of Jesus Christ through all of Europe. God used them for that. Look at the generation today. What is God using this generation for? How's God using your life individually? God calls each one of us individually, because God has a plan for each one of our lives. The problem is our submission to that plan. Are we willing to submit? Fully complete. You can't have any baggage. You cannot have any baggage. When you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, you surrender your life to Him. You surrender fully and completely. Not because you want to use God or because He wants to use you. It's because obedience is the greatest key to our faith in Jesus Christ. Obedient to the Word of God. And it seems that when Paul obeyed the Word of God, God began to open these doors all over Europe. Remember, he made three missionary journeys. And they're amazing. When you follow those missionary journeys, you get blown away, because Paul went everywhere proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and ending up in Rome and getting killed by Caesar Nero. And Paul knew it, that this would happen to him. And yet here, as John is writing to this great church, we begin to see that when Paul was there again in the church that Lydia belonged to there in the city, you know, of Thyatira, that he went there, and the city was famous for the manufacturing of purple cloth. Purple cloth, it was manufactured there. Secondly, Lydia, living in Philippi, was engaged in selling purple. She was a great businesswoman all over Europe. The longest message was sent to the church in the smallest little city. Think about that. The message goes to a little city, not with a lot of population, and the message man gets to the people of God. Just like us here today. Think how each one of us individually have met the Lord Jesus Christ. In your own way, in your own manner, in your own place. And yet, today, when you look at the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and maybe you know people like that, that they say they're believers, they say they're accepted Christ, but when you look at the fruit of their life, you don't see it. You don't see it. People today are involved in everything, every area you can think of. There's no fear of God today. There's no holiness unto the Lord. People manipulate people, not only manipulate, but people, you know, they give into sin. They give themselves over to do that because they don't want, you know, anybody to think that they're weak. And yet to be strong, you have to submit. You have to obey what God's word says. When Paul saw this lady by the name of Lydia, he was really touched by her. Because not only Thyatira was a military town, notice, as well as commercial center. But there in Thyatira, there was a trade guild where people would come and do business. The seven churches are, here's Ephesus, Smyrna, and it goes like this, the seven churches. Very small churches. Someone asked, well, how come only seven churches? Well, there were many more churches. But God chose these seven churches for a purpose. In each one of those churches, again, you found each one of us individually in each one of those churches today. It's incredible. That even in the first church, the church of Ephesus, what happened? They left their first love. They fell out of love with God. They were doing great works. You know, they were going to church. They were doing this. They were doing that. They were witnessing to people. But when it came to loving the Lord, loving the word of God, they had deviated from it. They were gone. And the Lord says, repent. There's no possible way that God can use any one of us unless of repentance. True repentance. To turn from our sins, to turn to God, so that God can begin not only to use my life, but reuse my life over and over and over again. Because one of the things that I don't want to do is I don't want my love for Christ to decrease. I want it to increase. That's what each one of us individuals should have in our hearts. There in the church of Thyatira, the city of Thyatira, she was not only was she trading, you know, the things that she had made in her business, but she traded materials treated in Thyatira purple dye described by Luke, the physician, the Gospel of Luke. He says he describes it as a dealer of purple cloth, a dealer of purple cloth. She also had evidently immigrated to Philippi in Macedonia, in which Thyatira was a colony, and there she was heard. Not only she heard Paul preach, and she heard the gospel, and she got hooked up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. She loved it. She loved hearing the word of God. And how I thank God for you guys, that you come to hear the word of God. And God will honor you, and God will honor his word when you're going through a valley. You know, you're in a pit. Or something's going on with your family, whatever. Know one thing, that God is always there to assist you. Always. Satan comes along and says, well, you know, look what you did. God hates you. God's not listening to your prayers. Don't ever listen to Satan. Listen to God. Sometimes people ask me, well, how do I know that, this is God's will for my life when you have peace? If you don't have peace, then don't do it. When you have peace in your life, then you know you're in God's perfect will. Because Satan doesn't bring peace. He brings war. And he wants to bring confusion. Imagine how Paul the Apostle, and here this lady that's there listening to Paul the Apostle preaching the gospel, and how the Lord opens her heart like he opened your heart and my heart. She's standing there, and the word of God is opening her heart, and her heart gets huge for the word of God. As she listens to the message of the word of God. And what happens? She believes and she's baptized. Believe and baptized. By the power of the Holy Spirit, imagine Paul must have been so happy. Watching individual people coming to know the Lord, not because of him, but because of the Lord. It's not because of us, it's because of the Lord who he is. So important that we remember that. Apart from him, I can do nothing. Nothing. And then certainly, by the time Revelation was written, if you think about that, this prosperous city and prosperous church was in a place of examination, as we'll see later on. Let me read to you something that was written, because Christ here speaks of the words that he's talking to the church. I know your deeds, he writes, your love, your faith, your service, and perseverance. Edward Myers points out that the trade guilds were religious in nature. And quote, one could not make a living without being a member. Each one was dedicated to a particular deity. Feasts to these gods or gods were lavish parties that everyone was expected to attend. These included three basic elements. Number one, a cup of wine poured out in worship to the god. Secondly, a fellowship meal, which included excessive drinking. Thirdly, a sexual orgy, notice, flowing with meals. Christians were placed in the terrible situation of participation or rejection, which meant losing your jobs. There were in Thyatira, for example, associations for bakers, bronze workers, cloth manufacturers, cobblers, for weavers, tanners, dyers, and potters. And if you did not follow their rules and regulations, you lost your job and you were an outcast. The pressure of the world. Look about what's happening today. We're coming to the place where now government wants to rule over the people. When they're taking your rights away from you, something is going wrong. Let me give you some forestalling Christian qualities indeed here. Thyatira not only reviled Ephesus in basic Christian service, but listen, exhibited the love which Ephesus or the Ephesians lacked in. Preserve the faith which was imperiled to Pergamos. Remember Pergamos. They had their own problems. And then how about Smyrna? The virtue of patience, endurance, tribulation, and yet never getting their eyes off the Lord. Never getting their eyes off the Lord. And Smyrna was a great persecuted church. And yet Thyatira, they lay at the mouth of the long valley which connected the valleys of the Hermes and Caucasus River. Secondly, though the valley there ran a great road from Byzantium to Smyrna, and through it there ran a great trade road from Pergamos to Syria. It was in 290 BC that the name Thyatira emerged in history, and it emerged as the name of a military center. They had a huge military center there in Thyatira. Fourthly, the supreme importance of Thyatira was that it was a gateway to Pergamos, the capital city of Asia Minor, which we talked about last week. Fifthly, Thyatira was not a center of special religious importance. It had a temple of Artemis and Apollo, but they were not specially famous. It was not a special center for Caesar worship like the others. They were Caesar worship, not here. Six, the one claim to the religious fame which Thyatira possessed was that in an oriental site called Sambeth, it says they had a shrine, the people came there to consult her for guidance. So they would come for guidance, and then what they would do is they would pray to their gods to give guidance. Seventh, Thyatira was a great commercial center of the wool trade and the dyeing industry. It was from Thyatira that Lydia, the purple seller, came there and worked and got saved, as we saw in Acts chapter 16, 14, 8. At the center of the situation which threatened Thyatira, there was again a woman that was given by the name of Jezebel. We've heard that name before, right, in the Old Testament. Jezebel. The original Jezebel was the daughter of King Sidon, and Ahab, the king of Israel, had taken her to be his wife. 1 Kings 16:31. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Can you imagine? Here is a king that has been brought up in the ways of God, like so many kids today. And he begins to rebel against God. And what does he do? He breaks the commandment of God where they're not to be unequally yoked together and to worship other gods. He began to worship Baal and all these other gods. Remember Solomon, when he married all these foreign women, what did they do? They brought in their gods into Jerusalem and they set them up all over the place. And the worship of God left, and the worship of other idols, they began to worship other idols. Look at the world today that we live in.
Buddhism, you know what I mean? Taoism, I mean, Hinduism.
You have so many religions of the world that have come here. People have come here with all their gods. And I remember back in the 1970s when I went first to England. When I went to England, I went to visit Spurgeon's Tabernacle. And I'll never forget this. When I was in England, I went many times, but when I went the first time, I was blown away. Because at that particular time in the 70s, there was only like 12% of England that believed in Jesus Christ in the 70s. Go today and see how many people believe in Jesus Christ. You know what happened? What goes around comes around. The same thing that happened in England is happening to us right now. Same thing. Wait 5, 10, 15, and the Lord says, watch what's going to happen. And where we'll be spiritually in the next 10, 15 years. Because the devil knows that if he can get our nation, if he can get the church in trouble, then who's going to believe us? Seriously. Who's going to believe leaders that are sleeping with other women? Cheating in income taxes. Robbing from the church. Doing all these things that people are teaching against, and yet they themselves are doing it. That's hypocrisy. That's not the truth. So how can God's power work in my life and through my life if I am being a hypocrite like the Pharisees? We can't do that. Too much is given, much more will be required. Much more. So this was a pretty big problem in the church of Thyatira, the worship of Jezebel. Let me give you a couple things that I wrote down. Her sin was that she had brought with her to Israel her own gods and her own goddesses. She introduced Israel to that. Secondly, she had brought her Baal and Ashtaroth and all the rest of them and had introduced the worship of these strange gods and goddesses to Israel. And this had defiled the worship of the true God. Of the true God. Ashtaroth is the worship of fertility. Remember Molech? Molech was used in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the valley where they threw the trash, Gehenna Valley. And they would have this statue of Molech with his hand stretched out this way. Then the women, Jewish women, they would have babies because they were worshiping Molech. The moment they had their babies, they would carry them on their hands, come down to Gehenna, the valley of Gehenna, and they would heat up Molech as hot as it could be, and it was red. And then they would barbecue their babies. What's the difference between abortion today? 50 million abortions already, or more. I mean, these things are for our examples that we need to learn as we hear the Word of God. This is just history. And so if history is true, and these things have happened in the past, then what is happening in the present and what's going to happen in the future? I pray the church won't be here, just like Jesus said. I pray that the Lord will come very soon. But the reason the Lord hasn't come is because God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what the WHO service are doing. Trying to reach as many, many kids and people as they can in that culture. Why? Because they love them. Jesus loves each one of us individually. And we need to be open to the Holy Spirit and how God can use each one of our lives. But this woman, Jezebel, was a very dangerous woman. Listen, next thing. The women of Thyatira were seducing the Christian men from worshiping their true God. And then she said she was teaching them of eating sacrifice to idols things, then commit fornication. Adultery, fornication, the eating of things that were not right. And then just as the ancient Jezebel had corrupted the faith of Israel, so this new Jezebel was doing the same to the Christian family of God there in Thyatira. Look at today in our country. Who is affecting the church? Who's affecting the church? And I think that each one of us individually can answer that question. I mean, what does it take a person to backslide or to move away from the truth of God to be convinced by listening that it doesn't matter what you do, you'll go to heaven? Think about that. That you'll go to heaven.
A lot of people think that they're going to go to heaven. But God has set the rules. The word Thyatira comes from two words, meaning sacrifice, continual. This introduced what? The heresy, the central heresy that was produced by the false doctrines. You see, you take the word sacrifice continually to other gods, to the idols. And we'll see in a moment that, you know, and not to put any church down, but we will see in history, and you'll blow your mind when I give you history, how everything came to pass even to the present time. You blow your mind. Let's continue. Let me give you some of the facts. In 607 AD, Pontifex III was the first pope. The first pope. When you go to the Catholic Church and you talk to them, they will tell you that Peter was the first pope. And I always tell them, not to put them down, I tell them the truth. I say, listen, if Peter was the first pope, then why did he have a wife? He was married. He was a Jew. The Catholic Church doesn't believe that priests should marry. You see, they say that. That's their doctrine. And yet, here in 607 is the beginning of the first pope. Secondly, in 709, kissing the pope's feet was established. The worship of man. The worship of man. What did Jesus do? Jesus washed feet. He didn't kiss feet. Notice that. They were kissing the pope's feet. Thirdly, in 786, the worship of images that reflected another god. 786 or 850, the use of holy water began to use holy water when they would baptize. In 995, canonization of dead saints. They started making saints out of these people that died. They're the ones that did that, not God, the saints. Now, this is the reason. We, as the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay, when Paul says to the Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called to be, remember, sanctified. We are saints. So you can call me Saint Ralph, no problem with that. Because saint means what? Hagioi, separated. We're separated to God. And yet they believe that when somebody dies and they've done a lot of good works, they would lift them up and they make saints out of them and people worship them. This is when the establishment came. The establishment of worshiping saints, the dead saints. 998, fasting on Fridays during Lent, the 40 days before Easter. 1079, celibacy of the priesthood, no marriage. 1090, prayer beads, where you pray. You know, the Buddhists have their own prayer beads too, and the Catholic Church has their own too, the rosary. And then in 1184, the Inquisition took place. In 1190, sale of indulgences. You know what that is, right? You know, if you're a sinner, the Catholic Church came and says, okay, if you give me money, then your sins will be forgiven. They took their money. Imagine, these were the priests. Indulgences. And then in 1215, transubstantiation, which means they started doing the communion service too. Adoration of water in a host. And then in 1229, Bible forbidden for lay people. You can't read the Bible. I mean, it's in Latin. But imagine the ignorance. When I was a kid, being a Catholic, I never read the Bible. Everything I heard was Latin. Everything. No understanding. And you sit there, you know, you're kind of listening. Oh, okay, cool. That's, you know, you don't even know what's going on. But think about how they kept people from the Word of God where anybody can read the Bible. Anybody. The problem, if you read the Bible as a non-believer, you're not going to understand it. It's going to be like literature. But when you come to Jesus Christ and you open the Word of God, I remember the first time I read the Bible and I was blown away. Immediately, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. And I read through the whole Bible. And then I read through the whole Bible. Every year, I read twice through the whole Bible in the last 40 years. And the reason is because when you read it and reread it, the pictures, the chapters, the stories become more real in your life. Sometimes I found out, as I'm going to Leviticus, whatever book, and I read that chapter, that didn't mean nothing to me. The next time around, it means a lot to me. Because it's God's proper time as He's teaching you the Word of God. I recommend that you read every single day the Word of God. Every day. Because again, in 1229, the Bible was forbidden for lay people. You could not have a Bible. You could not have a Bible. And then in 14:14, cup forbidden to people at communion service. 14:39, doctrine of purgatory decreed. The doctrine of purgatory. 14:39, doctrine of seven sacraments affirmed. 15:08, the Ave Maria approval. 15:34, Jesuit order formed. In 15:45, tradition granted equal authority with the Bible. Imagine that. When people talk about the Pope, man, the Pope is like God. When you talk to a Catholic and they say, well, why do you pray to Mary? Well, they'll say, well, I pray to Mary because she's like my intercessor. She's like my bridge between God and men. When Jesus, in their same Bible, in the book of Timothy, says there's no mediator between God and men but the man Christ Jesus. Who's the bridge? Jesus. Man's here, Jesus is here, and God's here. Nobody can ever get to God unless you come to Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And yet when I look at people like that, I know they're sincere. I know they're sincere. And yet the responsibility, like Calvary, like responsibility of any church, keeping people in the darkness. Can you imagine on the day of judgment, all those leaders keeping people in the darkness instead of allowing the truth of Jesus Christ to flow through their lives so they could change and be transformed? That's why Jesus has so much to say about this church. All the traditions, all the things they invented. And then in 1546, apocrypha books put into Bible. So you know, in the Catholic Church, you have about 17 books. They're called the apocrypha books. First Maccabees, Second Maccabees, Tobit, all these books. Every one of those, the reason the Catholic Church believes, you know, when you die and you go to purgatory, is because in the apocrypha books, it is mentioned there, but it's not the word of God. The apocrypha books are historical books. We don't accept them as scripture. 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament books, that's it. The others are not inspired. They're historical books. That's it. Yet, if you pick up a Catholic Bible, they have them in the Word of God. In the Word of God. So when I talk to Catholics, I say, let's read the same Bible. Take them to John. Take them to Acts, Corinthians. They have same chapters, same Bible. Then they try to take you to the First Maccabees, Second Maccabees, or whatever book they have. And they want to argue like the Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses. You talk to a Mormon, they have the Book of Mormons, and then what you do is they have their Bible. So when they come to you, they say, okay, let's open the Bible. They open the Book of Mormons. And they want you to know doctrine for Mormons so that you can be rooted and grounded on, you know, in Joseph Smith's philosophy and teachings he gave to the Mormon church. And then the Jehovah Witnesses, same thing, Buddha. Every religion has their own little pope. But we, as the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Christ is the one that we serve and the one we love. There's no mediator between God and man, but the man Christ Jesus. There is no salvation in any other name but the name Jesus Christ, period. And then, in 1854, Immaculate Conception of Mary. Imagine that. You talk to a Catholic and you ask him, well, you know, on the day of Pentecost, 120, you know, were there. Mary including, the mother of Jesus. Then, I don't know how they come up with, and then they said that Mary ascended to heaven. And I tell them, show me the Bible where it says that. Mary is never again mentioned after chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Never again. She never ascended to heaven. She was the mother of Jesus, and that's it. She's never to be worshipped. She's never to be exalted. Because remember, when Jesus was speaking, not only he had brothers and sisters, but when he was speaking about his mother and father, when they said, hey, your mom and dad are outside, he says, who's my mother? Who's my father? Who's my brother? Who's my sister? You see? Jesus was telling him, listen, God is number one, not your mom, not your dad, not your brother, not your sister. And we got to remember that. Especially people that are religious and they're in Catholicism, man, it is so hard to talk to them because they don't believe this. So I give them reference books so they can go read themselves. But they put so much trust in the Pope, in the bishop, in the cardinals, in the priest, that they actually run their lives, and notice this, and when they pray, they always pray to statues instead of Jesus. And when you see the cross in the Catholic Church, what's the cross? Jesus is still hanging on the cross. Think about that. When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. So important that we pay attention to the things people teach. And yet I believe there's people in the Catholic Church that are set free too. I've seen many of them to come to Christ. And then how about another one? In 1864, Syllabus Errors Proclaiming the Word of God. 1870, Infallibility of Pope declared infallible. 1930, Public Schools condemned. 1950, Assumption of the Virgin Mary. And in 1965, Mary proclaimed to be the mother of the church. Isn't that something? The mother of the church. When Jesus said, listen, that's not what it's about. Man, how we need to pray today for so many people that are blind, so many people that are lost because they will not accept the truth of Jesus Christ. You know what it takes? Submission. Submission of my will for His will. So that God can not only stretch my faith, God can use my life. And never putting down anybody. When we do put down something, is a doctrine. Not the people. The people are lost. They need Jesus. Homosexuals, they need Jesus. The problem with sin, it dominates people. Satan blinds their eyes, pulls up their ears so they can hear, they can see the truth. And the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. Know your hearts. And I pray that God will know my heart fully, completely. Now, the continual sacrifice, remember that word? It's Rome's greatest heresy. The Church of Rome denies the finished work of Jesus Christ, but believes a continuing sacrifice which produces such things as sacraments and praying for the dead and burning candles. Right there from their own books. Burning of candles. Rome's similarity of paganism, for example, penance. Look what it says, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Notice, that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. These are scriptures you should give to the Catholics. We talked about. There's no way we are saved by works. No possible way. How about darkness? 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God fully, completely. And how about mystery? Matthew 13:23. But he who receives the seed in good ground is he who hears the word of God and understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is really cool because when you read Matthew 13, and this is real clear, four types of ears. Those that have no faith, those that are emotional, those that are totally sold out to the world, and then the fourth one is the best. He's the person that comes to know Christ. He comes to know Christ, he gets a Bible, reads it, gets counsel, gets connected into a church, and then it says this, and he brings forth 30, 60, and 100-fold in fruit. A real child of God is fruitful, not unfruitful. He brings forth fruit. 60, 30, and 100-fold. So when you look at people and they don't have any fruit, then you have to have a question mark. Are they truly Christians? Do they really believe in Christ? How about idolatry? Exodus 24. The Ten Commandments, you shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Notice it covers everything about idolatry. How about chanting? Matthew 6:7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. The rosary. Vain repetition. Five Hail Marys, Hail Mary, or Our Father, whatever. He says then, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. For their many words, and God doesn't listen. How about crucifix? Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus may be the preeminence, number one in everything that he does. And then how about Mary's central figure? She's the mother. Revelation 1:18. Jesus said, I am he who lives, who was dead,
And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we should pray for every church member, not only here, but everywhere. In these last days, we want to pray that their eyes will be opened spiritually. That they'll have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, especially if you have loved ones, mom, dad, brother, sister, whoever it may be. We need to pray. We don't want them to stay here when Jesus comes. It's going to be horrible. Horrible. I mean, if people today could only see into the future, I don't think the church would be in this condition. All you have to do is read the book of Revelation. And it totally blows you away what's coming ahead. But before it comes, what is God doing? Warning, shouting loud and clear, listen, I am coming. Get ready. Repent. Get right with you. Give me your heart. And I'll make right things with you. You make things with me. That's what God desires today like never before. And I want to pray for you tonight. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we pick up next week, Father, with the church, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be with each one of us individually, God. Lord, I pray for every young person here, Father, every mother and father, grandfather, grandmother, Lord, or whoever may be here, Lord. Lord, we ask you, please, to show us, Lord, to be with each one of our hearts, Lord God. Lord, that you forgive our sins, Lord God. Forgive me for my sins, God. Lord, I pray that you just continue to lead and guide and provide, Father, in every way so that we can reach the world for Jesus Christ in these last days, Lord. Father, I pray for the weak. I pray for the sick, Lord. Lord, I pray for every cancer victim, Lord, that you would touch, Lord. Children, teenagers, Lord God, young adults, mothers and fathers and grandparents, Lord. Lord, we pray that as cancer is just overwhelming today, Lord God, that you would touch even here tonight, Jesus. Father, we pray for every young person, Lord God, to protect, to watch over Jesus. And Lord, we pray for our government, our president, Lord God, for the vice president, for Congress, Lord God, for the House of Representatives, Lord. And Father, for the Democrats and Republicans, Lord God. Lord, that if we're not united, then we're divided, Lord. And Father, how we need to be united as a nation, as God's people. And Lord, we pray for our children and our children's children, Lord God, that in these last days, God, you would give us your grace, your mercy, Lord. Lord, forgive us for everything and anything we have done against you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those that have nothing tonight, Lord Jesus, that you help them, Lord, financially, spiritually. Lord, whatever it may be, Lord God, we're at your feet, Lord. As we bow our knees to you, Lord God, we pray. And you're touching our lives, Jesus. Lord, that you continue to lead and guide, Father, in every way. Lord, that you fill us with your peace, with your love, your mercies. Lord, as we give you all the glory and all the honor for being our King and our God. And just with every eye closed, every head bowed, if there's anybody here tonight, you're visiting with us, somebody brought you, you came on your own. If God has spoken to you, he gives you an opportunity tonight to repent of your sins, to accept him by faith so that he can become your Lord and Savior. And then he'll take every one of your sins and he'll wash them by his blood. And you'll become whiter than snow and he'll never hold you accountable for the sins ever again. If you're here tonight and you want to receive Christ, I'm going to ask you to come up here to the front. Where I am right here. As we worship, you get up and you come, and then I'm going to pray with you, okay? Let's all pray for these people as they come. It'll probably be one of the hardest things you'll ever in your life to get up publicly in front of people to come to the front. But it's a sign of submission, it's a sign of surrender, and it's a sign that you're coming to the cross of Jesus Christ to receive salvation from him. Anybody else before we pray? Father, we are thankful for this woman, Father. We pray. Anybody else just come? Awesome. Anybody else? Father, we're so thankful for these that have come, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you touch them, that you anoint them, Lord. And I want you guys to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me, okay? Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to fill me tonight with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible. See that guy right over there? Go right over there, huh? Awesome. Awesome. That's cool.